I'm going to begin the lesson today by reading Psalm 136. You may want to open your Bibles there. I'm going to need your help today with this reading because this is a responsive reading. It's calling for those assembled to participate by reciting a phrase in unison after each statement. So if you have your Bibles open, great. If not, you can read aloud the phrase on the screen at each pause, okay? Are you ready? Now, this is not too hard, okay? But we don't want you just to be reading words. We want you to be responding to what is declared in each instance before your response. Are you ready? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. You're getting it. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone has done great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them, love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Yes. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the desert, who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, to his servant Israel. To the one who remembered us in our low estate and freed us from all enemies and who gives food to every creature. And then verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven. And you repeat it another time, even though it's not in the text. But that's great. I still had it up there. You got in that rhythm, didn't you? Now, I think there must be a message we're to get here. What do you think? There must be a message here for us. 25 times in 25 verses, the response called for is, his love endures forever. Well, whose love endures forever? Well, the Lord's love, of course. Our God's love. Now, later on in this week, you may not recall a single one of the phrases that I shared. But I trust you're going to remember at least the one that you read 25 times. What was it? His love endures forever. And see, and that's precisely the point that the Holy Spirit is making for us in this inspired exercise. That we remember that. That we don't forget that. Throughout history, God's love has endured. Endured. Now you think about that word, endured. Well, it's gone on forever, but endured all things, all situations, all circumstances. How do I know his love is endured? Well, because the Bible tells me so. But more than that, the psalmist is saying that the passage is affirming that God has demonstrated his love over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Well, how has he demonstrated it? How has he shown that his love is so enduring? Well, the first thing that's mentioned is his love was first displayed in creation itself. That's what is said here in this psalm, Psalm 136. And it continues to be portrayed for us yet today. His love being displayed in what he's created. Even though we live now in a fallen world that's tainted with natural disasters, when we see that beautiful sunset, When we see that snow-covered hill and those trees again glistening, we see that starlit sky on a clear night, or that peaceful lake or that babbling brook in the woods, they all declare His glory. They declare His glory and His great love for us. That's what the psalmist is saying. In creation, the things He created, we can see His great love. His love is declared. He created all this in love. Love for who? For us. For us. The same is true for us to remember His love endures when we smell a rose or taste a strawberry or a pear or other fruit. I would like to challenge you about that. As you look about you this week, and as you taste things again that God has created, remember His love endures forever. I've shared before that God could have made everything in grayscale if He'd so chosen to do so. He could have made everything colorless. He could have made everything tasteless as well, and made us without the ability to enjoy taste. He could have made everything dull and mundane, but He didn't. David said again, the heavens declare His glory in Psalm 19. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Timothy 6:17 that we should, who, as we put our hope in God, remember that He richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, why does He provide us everything? For our enjoyment. Why has He done all this, created the things the way He has? So that we can enjoy, that we can see all this beauty and enjoy life the way we do. So many blessings, again, all good and perfect gifts come from Him, the Father of lights. They come from Him. God's love is displayed. And we should remember His love endures how long? Forever. God's love was also proven in the deliverance of His people. That's what Psalm 136 declares. He especially mentions the rescue of Israel from Egyptian bondage. You can read about that, of course, in the book of Exodus. God's mighty works moved a stubborn ruler to release His children from captivity. His love was displayed that way. He actually displayed His love by sending plagues upon the Egyptians so that everyone would know, and this is what Exodus will tell us, who He is and what He can do and how much He loves His people. God's love endures forever. His love also is seen, according to Psalm 136, in His providential care for His children in the wilderness. Continuing reading in Exodus, we would find that He led them, He protected them, and He fed them on their journey to the promised land. He provided manna from heaven and a fountain of water from solid rock. He did that. And He guided them night and day until they reached their destination. He went out before them. Some of what is described, though, in Psalm 136 as evidence of God's love may not quite line up with our ideas about love. For instance, the fact that He protected them, His people, by killing their enemies, well, that likely doesn't fit into our perceptions of what God's love should look like. But yet there it is. On the surface, at least, it sure doesn't seem to be the loving thing to do. We might ask, well, why didn't He just beam His people out of Egypt and deposit them gently into the promised land? Why didn't He just do that? That would have been so much easier. Or why didn't He put all their enemies gently to sleep, at least long enough for them to escape? Why didn't He do those things? Well, He could have done it that way. Couldn't He? Surely He could. But what about when those enemies woke up? What about then? After all, if you read through the book of Exodus and you read the story, didn't Pharaoh pursue them soon after he was persuaded to let them go? He did. As soon as he was awake, he came after them. Well, what was his intention? To just say, you know, I just want to make sure you guys are doing okay. I want to make sure you're getting on your way. Maybe there's anything I can do to help. No. His intention was to wipe out the majority of them and enslave the rest again. So no matter how we perceive it, most loving fathers know that their hearts for their children would move them to take some extreme measures to rescue them and to protect them. And what was his purpose for this long and difficult journey? 40 years through the desert. Where was the love in that? Because sometimes it was difficult. But according to Deuteronomy chapter 8, it was necessary for them to learn that they needed to rely upon God in good times and bad, instead of trusting in themselves. They needed to really understand and learn that God loved them. God truly loved them. Is that a valuable lesson to learn? Some of us, it might take a while to learn that lesson. Maybe 40 days. Some of us maybe 40 years or longer. Maybe some of us still need to learn it, that God loves us desperately, completely, fully, consistently. So much pain and heartache could be avoided if we just got hold of that simple truth. So many of the things that happened to the children in the wilderness that wasn't good was because they forgot that God loved them, and they stopped listening and responding to his love. That'd be a good lesson for us to learn, right? To learn that God loves us and his plan is always best. It's always best. And to trust him even in difficult times, knowing that he's not abandoned us in those times. Some of life's greatest and most needed lessons are learned in the most difficult of times. How many of you know that? In fact, hard times often set the stage for God's love to be displayed. And I'm not saying that God causes the calamities, but he certainly is the one who rescues us from them. In fact, Romans 8, 28 through 29 says, "We know that in all things God works to the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son." Paraphrase, God will work things out for those who trust him to do so. You hear that? God will work things out for them who trust him to do so. That doesn't necessarily mean things will work out the way we want them to, but that it'll work them out for our ultimate good. Sometimes what we think would be best for us, and we even pray for that to be the case, well, it doesn't come out the way that we were hoping that it would. Something doesn't develop the way we were praying for it to. And we think, well, maybe we begin to question even God's love for us. But don't. He loves us. And if there's an unanswered prayer or a prayer answered in a different way than we expect or want it to be, doesn't mean he doesn't love us. He's got a better plan for us. He's got a better plan for us. He's got something else in mind for us because he loves us. Matter of fact, in Romans 8, 28, 29, it even tells us what it will look like when all is said and done. Well, more accurately, he's telling us what we will look like when it's all said and done. We'll be conformed to the likeness of his son, Jesus. And if we ever forget that Jesus didn't always have it easy, then we're forgetting a very important principle. Jesus endured some difficulties, did he not? He did. And he shows us and teaches us how to handle difficulties and to trust in God's love no matter what. We'll be conformed to his likeness. We'll become more like him, even in the midst of difficulties. Now, this all brings me to ask you for another response to what I believe God is saying to us this morning. I read this story of God's love displayed in his people in the past when I read Psalm 136. And you responded with what? His love endures forever. 25 times, his love endures forever. Here's my challenge for you right now. Why not write the story of how he's displayed his love for you? See, that's the story of how he displayed his love for the people in the past, his people. How about you writing your story? of how he has displayed his love for you. Think of it as a testimony, if you will. Has he done great things in your life? Has he done some mighty things in your life? Have you recognized the very fact that being alive at this moment in time is all because he knit us together in our mother's womb in the first place? He's given us life and breath. Has he provided for our needs? Again, the breath that we breathe, the food that we eat, the water that we drink, everything that we have that we need, where does it come from? It's all from him. Has he delivered you from any sicknesses or addictions? Has he delivered any of your children or your children's children or your friends or your parents? Have you prayed for them and that he has healed them? He has provided that. Has he done that? If any of this is true, and I would suggest it's all true, then give him thanks. Isn't that what we're told to do? Give thanks to the Lord. So inspired by Psalm 136, here's my testimony to God's enduring love. Are you ready? I won't ask you for the responses this time. I'll give them. Are you ready? I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He blesses me each morning with a new day of opportunity and each night with hope for tomorrow. His love endures forever. He's delivered me from evil, destroying the curse of sin and death on the cross. His love endures forever. He's given me new birth and a living hope. His love endures forever. He's granted me the privilege of having a loving family, a wife and children, and a church family that I know cares for me more than I deserve. His love endures forever. He killed the cancer that threatened my granddaughter. And he gave me an extension of my own life when the diagnosis was dim. His love endures forever. He forgives me again and again for my selfish and sinful behavior. His love endures forever. He's not given up on me or his plan to make me like Jesus, even though I've not been nearly as cooperative or compliant as I should be. His love endures forever. And he has a place prepared for me in his home in heaven, and nothing can ever change that or take that away. His love endures forever. So for all this and more, I give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. You get the idea? Could you write your own testimony of his enduring love? Much of it would be similar. Some of it might be very specific to how he has shown his love to you personally. But maybe you're someone who feels that his wellspring of love has run dry, if there was ever any love in it in the first place. Surely he could not still love you after what you've done, after all you've done, after maybe all you've neglected to do. I confess I once felt that way. That I'd messed up one too many times. But I have good news. Our feelings don't change his feelings. Would you say that with me? Our feelings don't change his feelings. His love endures forever. And if you have trouble believing that, I want you to listen to these words of truth from Psalm 103. Are you ready? Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion, who satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who revere him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who revere him. For he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone. And his place remembers it no more. Verse 17, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who revere him. Do you hear this? Boy, that psalm, those words refresh my soul. They really do. For God loves us. He loves us. How much does he love us? More than we can imagine. More than we deserve. How long will he love us? Longer than we should have any right to expect. His love is eternal. That's good news. That is good news. In fact, there's no better news than this. And it makes me want to praise him. How about you? Does it make you want to praise him? Does it move you to praise him? It moved David to praise him. It moves me to praise him. For his everlasting love, his eternal love, his enduring love. What's the golden text of the Bible that we quote so often and we've been singing as a theme through this month so far? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thinking on that, this means that since we have everlasting life, we'll be able to experience God's everlasting love. For how long? Forever. Forever. See, we're going to live forever in God's presence and in the presence of his everlasting, enduring, eternal love. Man. That's incredible to think about, isn't it? That's incredible to think about. And that's certainly a reason for us to praise the Lord and to give him thanks this morning, isn't it? Isn't it? A couple of weeks ago, the Johnsons invited Nina and I out to lunch with their family, and their daughter Rachel was with them as well, and her sweet children, their grandkids. And one of the little girls crawled up in my lap. You know, and there we are in this restaurant, but she crawls up to my lap. And I'd already had them singing, A Little Town of Bethlehem, and everybody was just, they're applauding, they're pleased. My wife said, shh, we're in a restaurant. But everybody loved it. You know, you love to hear kids sing, right? But this little girl crawls up into my lap, and she says, tell me a secret. Okay. Because, you know, when I've been with her before, I kind of go to tell her a secret and whisper something in her ear, and sometimes I go, yeah. So, at any rate, I say, okay. So I go, I love you. And she said, what? And I said, I love you. She said, that's not much of a secret. I said, well, why is that? She said, well, I knew that. I knew that. I wonder how many of God's children know that he loves them. I mean, really know it. Shouldn't be a secret. It should be obvious, shouldn't it? And again, that's what we've been saying today. His love for us is obvious. We should know it. We should know it. But I believe God does whisper in our ear, in our hearts many times throughout our lives, I love you. I love you. because I think we need reminded. And sometimes it's not just whispering it. He's shouting it. And we just need to open our hearts to hear it. Amen. So again, whatever you remember from this message this week, remember just this. Most importantly, his love endures forever. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name for your enduring, lasting love. The fact that you continue to love us even when we're falling so short of the kind of lives that you would have us to live when we fail so many times. And you keep loving us and loving us and loving us and loving us and never stopping, never ceasing. Your love isn't ever paused. It's always, always being poured out for us. Help us to realize that today, recognize that, rejoice in that, and praise you for that. And Father, for those today who may seriously not be feeling the love, not having difficulty believing that you love them because of maybe the calamities that they themselves have faced or are facing even now, the difficulties, the problems that they're going through, they may not sense your love. But God, may we be able to point to not that circumstance that they're in necessarily so much as the circumstance that we would all have been in, lost, abandoned without hope, if you haven't demonstrated your love in sending your son to give his life, that we can have this life. Father, thank you. As I've often prayed and said, for loving us first, loving us best, and loving us still. In your blessed son's name, and those who agree say, and amen.